very valuable man to our fellowship here, Calvary Gospel Church. Let's give him a warm welcome as he comes and brings us the word of the Lord. God bless you, Brother Russell. Take your liberty.
I love you, man.
I love you.
Appreciate you. Praise the Lord. And while you're standing, I think we ought to thank God for a balanced pastor. The remarks we just heard were very appropriate. Understand we are, Madison itself is in the national news with all the conflict that's going on, and we need a good man of God who's balanced and make sure we understand that over it all we be Christians. Amen? Praise God. Thank God. And it is a great privilege of mine to stand here before you. I am retired, and I keep telling myself that. But I'm enjoying being here with you guys. You have opened your arms to us. Thank you for making us feel at home. My wife and I love you. We appreciate you, and I appreciate very much my good wife. Been married over half a century now. Working on the century. Amen. And a man couldn't ask for a better wife. And if you don't feel that way, you need to talk to God about it. Because my wife and I really have been through the storms, climbed a few mountains out there in the West, and I appreciate her faithfulness and her support very, very much. And God has been talking to me about something, and I want you to join with me in the study of God's Word in a Bible study this evening. And to be very honest with you, I don't know where this study is going to wind up. The Lord will have to take care of that. But I told the Purpose Institute class Saturday morning that the only way I can preach is with the help of the Holy Ghost. And you look up here and say, well, you don't know where you're going. No, only God does. You ready to follow him for a little while? Amen. While you're standing, if you'll open your Bibles to Titus, a little short book, close to the end of the Bible. And these are probably not Paul's final words, but there are some of them. And I want to concentrate on these verses, but I want to preach to you from the whole book. And you say, oh my. No, it's only like 2 pages in your Bible. So it's not a lot there, but there's a lot of content there. And that's what's important. Titus 3, starting with verse 8. It's on the overhead, if you want to lift your eyes and follow with me. This is a faithful saying. Everybody said a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me in Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey diligently, and that nothing be wanting unto them. I just read those last 3 or 4 verses just to give you some continuity, but I want to point out this 14th verse to you. And let ours, or our people, or let us, you might say, also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. that we be fruitful. Let me read it again. In fact, I'd like for you to read it with me, if you will, the 14th verse. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. I want to center on that center phrase in that 14th verse and also back up in the 8th verse. Maintain good works. Maintain good works. Would you ask God to speak to us tonight? God, would you take these simple, clear, understandable words and make them clearer? Help us to understand them better. Touch our lives and minister to us and move upon us in a special way. Help us to go away from this place determined, O God, to either maintain good works or to learn to maintain good works. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The book of Titus is actually a letter from the Apostle Paul, written to give encouragement and guidance to a pastor bishop named Titus, but considered by Bible teachers to be very important for preachers and pastors and Christians even to this very day. In this book, Paul is stressing the necessary practical working out of salvation in the daily lives of both elders and members of the congregation. He emphasizes one major thing that he considers desirable and profitable for all believers, young and old. That major thing, from the first chapter to the end, is doing good works. Titus apparently was the overseer of the churches on that island, the island of Crete, where he lived, and Crete was located in a mild and moderate climate, not like Madison, a mild and moderate climate where people apparently didn't have to put too much effort into making a living. As a result, they had become both lazy and immoral. In fact, Paul instructed Titus in the 13th verse of that first chapter, therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Is that what you want today? You want to be sound in the faith? I want to be sound in the faith. If it takes rebuke, I'm open. Amen. Whatever it takes. I say this every time I preach just about it, but I'm pretty close to the end. We must be saved. Amen. Amen. Now, throughout the book of Titus, Paul is emphasizing the need for doing good works as the fruit of and as the result of salvation. Amen. And in this little short book, filling only a couple of pages in most Bibles, doing good works is stressed 6 times. I'm going to briefly give them to you, and they'll be on the overhead. But in the 16th verse of the first chapter, he was telling Titus, or he was reminding Titus, not now as a servant, but above a servant. Nope, I'm in the wrong book. I knew that didn't look right. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Now, simply stated, what that means is the sinner, the wicked, the evil person cancels any good work they may do and puts their own soul in jeopardy. Amen. Then in the second chapter and the 7th verse, we read, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. He's talking to young men. Young men in the 6th verse. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things. Everybody said in all things. Come on, help me preach tonight. In all things, showing thyself a pattern or an example of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. And then in the 3rd chapter and the 1st verse, No, the second chapter in the 14th verse. He talks about our Savior Jesus Christ in the 13th verse, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us, buy us back from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, not strange, peculiar, zealous of good works. Zealous. Amen. Committed to, dedicated to, working hard, doing good. Amen. Amen. And then in the third chapter, in the first verse, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to obey the law is what he's saying, to be ready to every good work. Every good work. Amen. And then the eighth verse is part of our scripture. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. To do what? Maintain good works. And then the final one is, in closing the book, Titus was urged to let our people, or let us, or let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Amen. And you may ask a simple question right here. Just what is it to do good works? What does it mean? Now, I encourage you that I'm not going to preach the whole book. And when you get home or when you get a chance to read it, read the whole book. And then read it again, because he has some very good instructions there. I'm not going into detail here, but he does mention a few things specifically. But if God is good all the time, and he is, then all we need to do is this: follow his example. If we follow his example, we will be doing good. Amen? Not very complicated, is it? There was a popular gospel song, Southern gospel song from the past, that declares this fact. Everywhere that Jesus went, he was always doing good. Everywhere that Jesus went, he was always doing good. Remembering his earthly life, if you'd go back over it, the gospels tell you all about it, you'll know that this is the truth. Amen? Admit it. If the civil authorities, and especially if the religious authorities, had been able to find anything wrong in Jesus' life, they would have put him away. Amen. Amen. They would have jumped on it immediately. But in John 19:6, in spite of a close examination of every aspect of his life, his critics would have to declare, like Pilate, "I find no fault in him." Amen. And doing good didn't start with Jesus. It goes back to the very beginning of the Bible. When God stepped into the chaos of earth space in Genesis 1, he began to bring order to that chaos in the form of creation. And he commented, as he created earth on a daily basis, that he was doing a good work. Over and over at the close of each creative day, the Bible says, and God saw that it was good. Every day. And when creation was finished, Jesus 1:31 tells us, God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. Amen. So it starts in the beginning. Jesus also gives us a type of Jesus Christ in the man Joseph, who was placed in Egypt by God to help lead the people, the rest of the people, into a place where there was plenty to eat. But Joseph was first sold into slavery by his evil, jealous brothers. The redeeming factor in Joseph's life was his attitude toward God. From the harsh realities of slavery in Egypt all the way through the cruel Egyptian prison system, Joseph never lost faith in God. Amen. When he overcame all those negative odds and finally revealed to his brother who he was, he had to constantly reassure him. because they knew they had done wrong by him. And he constantly had to reaffirm Genesis 45, 7 and 8. And God sent me, Joseph said, before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And later, Genesis 50 and verse 20, after Jacob, their father, had died, Joseph was still reassuring them. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Do you hear me? Good. He was intent on finding the good in every situation and maintaining the good works. However, it was much later on in the Bible, over in the book of Deuteronomy, that God began to reveal a powerful principle to God's people. Apparently, this revelation didn't come to them overnight, but it took a little time for them to fully grasp this truth. Deuteronomy 5:29 tells us, after Moses had repeated all the commandments again, God is telling Moses, "Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." Does anybody here want to do well? These are the instructions. Amen. This is the bottom line. Believe me when I preach this to you. After over 50 years of living for God, committing my life to Him, I want you to know personally, God always wants what's best for you. Always. Always. He tells Moses, and I'm summing up some here, he just tells him to remind my people of the dual purpose of the law. Purpose number one, he wanted to bring them into a right relationship with God. And purpose number two, he wanted to give them instructions for conduct that would bring to them a blessed life. Is anybody sitting here today that wants a blessed life? Do you want to be blessed by God? Then follow him. Amen. Obey him. Walk with him. Amen. So, Deuteronomy 6:18 states it again with a little variation that makes it even clearer to us. "And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, that it may be well with you. You shall do what," I'm repeating, "you shall do what's right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers." So this is the principle that sometimes escapes us, or maybe we haven't just paused long enough to find it. And it's this: if you will do good by obeying God, it will be well for you. Amen. 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 There are two words in these verses that need to be considered. And I'm challenging all of us, take this home with you tonight. Meditate on what I'm saying to you and think about these words, because we're talking about the importance of doing good. And God is promising that doing good is the pathway to doing well. All right, so the question is this: what's the difference between doing good and doing well? A prosperous man was able to send both of his sons to law school. They both graduated with good grades and high honors. His close friends one day asked him how his sons were doing. This is what he told him. He said, "Well, my oldest son graduated from law school, passed his bar exams in New York State, and he's living in New York City. He was immediately picked up by a well-known law firm at a good salary, and he is doing well. He is doing well." Now, he said, "My other son also graduated with good grades and high honors, passed his bar exams, but he didn't go with a law firm. He joined legal services, and he works long, hard hours with very little pay, but he is doing good." You catch the difference? One's doing well, the other's doing good. I am preaching tonight that you can be doing well, and by doing well, convince yourself you're doing good. And you may be right, but you also may be wrong. Amen. Stay with me here because this is vital. I'm part of this church and I love all of you. I'm just wanting you to be very sure that you're ready to meet your God, because we all know that Jesus is coming and coming soon. Amen. If he comes for you tonight, if you're just doing well by itself, it may not validate your lifestyle. Because according to the Bible, you still need to be doing good. Doing well doesn't eliminate the need to do good. That illustrates the difference between doing well and doing good. The truth is, in our present culture, in our present society, you can do well without doing good. The obvious prosperity of the wicked proves that to be true. The Bible, however, ties these two words together by telling us the biblical way of doing well is first by doing good works. Changing your life, doing it right. Let me quote it again from the scripture. You shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, so that it may be well for you. Hallelujah. So let's restate the principle again. God is telling us, if you will do good by obeying me, it will be well with you. Thus Paul in Titus, summing up quite a bit of the Bible and its teachings, emphasizes the importance to us to show that yourself to be a pattern or an example of good works, to be zealous for good works. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. And when you have done this, you should maintain good works. Finally, as people continue to come into the church, when new people come, let them learn. Let them learn to maintain good works. Learn. Not something you automatically know. Not something you pick up along the way. We learn it. You see, the majority of the book of Exodus is describing a complex and involved tent designed by God and given to Moses and built by Moses and the children of Israel for the worship of God, the tabernacle. Then after it was built and after it was dedicated, the first chapters of Numbers designated, follow with me here, an entire tribe of Israel, the Levites, to, the Bible says, attend to or totally take care of this tabernacle and its courts. In other words, they not only moved it from place to place as God led them, they also kept up and maintained the condition of the tabernacle. This was their full-time job. Their purpose for living was maintaining the tabernacle and later in Jerusalem, the temple of God. Let me repeat, their job was to totally take care of, to keep and maintain God's house. Back in the 50s of the last century, most of you can't remember that, but a few of us can. Then President Eisenhower instituted a bold plan to connect all the United States closer together on a more efficient basis. At that time, there was a spider web of hundreds of thousands of miles of paved highways, secondary roads, and gravel roads, and even a few miles of four-lane highways. Road signs were small and seemed to change from state to state, and it was easy if you were traveling to get confused and totally turned around and completely lost. President Eisenhower envisioned a superhighway with a minimum of four lanes with limited access and huge signs so travelers would not get lost. It was to be built for through traffic so people could, by staying in the proper lane, cover hundreds of miles a day in relative safety. In the ensuing years, this huge interstate system was eventually built from Canada to Mexico and between the oceans. All of us have benefited from this, from the use of the interstate. It was a good idea. It was a very good idea. It was a visionary concept that was successful in tying the United States together and in improving our earthbound travel immensely. However, just to build that interstate system was not enough. It soon became apparent that without some form of ongoing, continuous maintenance system, it would soon deteriorate and come apart. So the responsibility of maintaining the interstate highway system, if I understand it correctly, fell on the shoulders of the individual states. They had to hire more skilled help, bought more equipment in order to maintain and keep up that vast new highway system. It had to be maintained. It had to be maintained. This Christian life has to be maintained. We must never neglect it. There may not be potholes to fill or cracks to seal or pavement to overlay like the interstate highway is, but there are things in our lives that we constantly need to work on to maintain good works. Anybody hear me tonight? There isn't anybody here, as far as I know, that's perfect. All of us need some help in areas of our lives. All of us have some weak areas. What do I do? Too often we are tempted to, and some of us fall in the trap of just living with it. We make statements saying, this is how I am. You just have to take me like I am. No. We need to work on this whole body. We need to work on ourselves. We need to do some intense maintaining. Amen. Amen. Now, you're not saying a whole lot, and I don't blame you. But I want to tell you something. I am coming to you from my heart tonight, not because I am conscious of all your weaknesses. I don't know that much about any of you. I just know that we be humans. We are all human beings, and none of us are perfect, and all of us need improvement. Yes, all of us. All of us. Well, what do? We learn to maintain good works. I want to tell you something. You don't have to sin anymore. You don't have to be wicked anymore. You don't have to be evil. If you make up your mind tonight that you're going to do what you know to do. Oh, Brother Russell, why don't you spell it out? I don't have to. The Holy Ghost tells you, if you'll listen to him, the Holy Ghost tells you all the time what's good in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you'll just let the Holy Ghost lead you and do what God tells you to do and maintain that and maintain that. Anybody hear me? We need to maintain some good works. We don't need to give up. We don't need to quit. We don't need to turn to the right or to the left. We just need to maintain the good works that God is working in our lives. Let's lift our hands and ask him to help us. God, in your name, come close to us tonight, God. Talk to us, O Lord. Minister to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, help us. Help us to see what we need to do. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Let me talk just a little more. I'm gonna finish in a minute, but I want you to hear this. You see, when conviction came into our life, and we repented of our past life, we repented of our sins. That was a good work. Amen. When you received the Holy Ghost that first time, that was a good work. Amen. What a marvelous miracle that God would put his spirit in us. Amen. You know that. Amen. When you were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that was a good work. Amen. Now, all of you know that's the message of salvation. I don't know if you ever stopped to think that only baptism, which is only one third of those three good works, only baptism was permanent. The other two-thirds needed to be maintained. Sure is quiet in here. Amen. Let me say it again. We are all human. We all make mistakes. We have our weak areas. Sometimes we lose it. We say and do things we shouldn't say or do. We think things we shouldn't think, even meditate on foolish fantasies and evil imaginations. So repentance needs to be maintained in our lives. Amen. Amen. It is a good work. It is a good work. It needs to be maintained. Hallelujah. We need to start every day, and I'm preaching to myself as well as everybody else. We need to start by repenting every day. Every day. Amen. Let nothing come between you and your Savior. Let nothing affect you. Let nothing distract you. God, I missed it yesterday, or I missed it this morning. I need to repent again. I want to repent again. It's a good work, and I want to maintain good works. Hallelujah. 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 So as we live, we see the importance of maintaining good works. Let me tell you something else. Receiving the Holy Ghost is a good work. It is a good work. But that too needs to be maintained. If you read closely through the book of Acts, Acts tells us that after Pentecost, both church and preachers were refilled periodically with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Then Paul in Ephesians 5:18 urges us to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. In modern English, this is translated, and I like the way it's translated. It says, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thus, receiving the Holy Ghost is not a permanent situation. It needs to be maintained. Needs to be maintained. You've heard me say this before, but forgive me for using it again. It fits right here. Oh, Brother Andrew Urshan preached in Alexandria at the end of his life, somewhere around the beginning of my ministry. I'll never forget it. In the middle of his message, preaching on receiving the Holy Ghost, he said in his Armenian brogue, you need to speak in tongues every day. He was not saying, get up every morning and jabber a little bit. He wasn't saying that. He was saying there is a walk with God that if you neglect it, it will become cold and you will become indifferent. And before you let that happen, you need to somewhere along the way, regularly, daily, receive the Holy Ghost again and again and again and again. Maintain good works, folks. That's what he's talking about. Maintain the good works. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. God's in the house tonight. Let's worship him. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. May I submit to you. May I submit to you that when we receive the Holy Ghost, we receive the power to do good works. We receive the power to do good works. Now we walk away from church. We walk away from a service like we're enjoying tonight, filled with the Holy Ghost, with a strong desire to improve our lives by doing good works. Praying more. That's a good work. Changing our lifestyle for good. That's a good work. Fasting more. Seeking God. Many other good works. Amen. The Holy Ghost talks to us about that during the service. While you're sitting here. That's why we need to attend church as much as possible. That's a good work too. Maintain good works. Maintain good works. Come to the house of God. Maintain good works. When you get here, start it off by praying. Maintain good works. Amen. Why don't we have a powerful, earth-shaking service every time we get together? Because we may not be maintaining good enough. I'm not saying we are or we're not. Many people pray regularly for our services. Keep doing it. And those who have neglected it, start doing it again. Maintain good works. Amen. Come to church every chance you get. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. We participate in maintaining good works when we come early for prayer. We maintain good works when we lift our hands in praise and worship. That's a good work. The world lost it. The church world lost it when everything started hanging on the preacher. Anybody hear me? Don't let that happen in Calvary Gospel. Amen. When something hits you, give God the glory. When something moves you, give Him praise. When He does something for you, come in those doors giving Him thanks and giving Him praise and worshiping Him, because we need to maintain good works.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. When something comes down upon us in the middle of a praise and worship service and we feel like dancing, my Lord, have mercy. Get on your feet and dance. Maintaining good works. Maintaining good works. Amen. When we feel like running, run. When you feel like magnifying God, don't let anybody dissuade you. Magnify God. Maintain good works. Maintain good works. Keep it going. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we are so hesitant to differ from the rest of the church world that we kind of hesitate. My challenge to you tonight is stop hesitating. Maintain good works. Amen. Amen. When the preacher is preaching, pouring his heart into a sermon or a Bible study. Amen. Don't sit in your place and fold your arms. Get out of your seat and give Him a backing like He needs to have. Get on your feet and maintain some good works. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When He gives an altar call, don't sit back there and wait. Come on down and make things right with Him. God wants you to be right with Him. Maintain good works. Well, that's just not my nature. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I believe we're made to worship God. If we're not worshiping God, we very well could be worshiping ourselves. And that's wrong. Worship God. Worship God. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Then when we go out into our world. When we go out into our world, out there, we must maintain good works. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This requires that we be good employees on our jobs. That we be good neighbors where we live. That we be kind and considerate to our mates. our children, our relatives. We need to understand, and I'm closing, we need to understand that Paul's words to Titus emphasizes the importance of showing yourself to be a pattern of good work. And as I say that, I know there are minds that are going back over their lives for today, wondering if maybe they missed it with that argument they had, or that neglected area they refused to do, or whatever. He said that we should be zealous for good works. He writes that we should be ready for every good work. Ready for every good work. And twice, maintain good works. That we all should maintain. Would you stand with me all over the house? Amen. Let me make one more point here. If you think about it, it just won't do to stop at doing a good work. Doing a good work. It's not even feasible to satisfy the scripture by doing some good once in a while. In order to obey Paul's instructions in this book, doing good works must become the primary motivating factor in our lives. We must give ourselves, commit ourselves, dedicate ourselves doing good works, maintaining good works. Alabashita. You feel the Lord, you step out and come and talk to Him. Something's happening here, supernatural. But I can promise you, if you'll step out beyond where you are tonight, if you make up your minds and determine that you will not be satisfied with just doing well and learn to maintain good works, God will pour out upon you blessings such as you had never imagined. God will give you many spiritual blessings. Remember the principle. If you will do good by obeying God, it will be well with you. You can stop worrying about everything else. It will be well with you. Anybody for prayer? Come on.